Good morning, everyone. Talked to Katie in times past, telling her that sometimes my voice is just a little bit high on the octave scale to have a commanding voice from the pulpit to try to do a good lesson. And so I inadvertently seem to be working on that myself. We've talked about the subject a number of times. I was going back through the lessons I keep on my computer, and I've got them, I think I've told you before, I keep them all computer file. Yes, I'm going back to 2001 and even back into the mid-90s with times that I did things at Kettering. And while they may not be stellar lessons, they always have been beneficial to me. And this subject has been one that we've talked about a number of times, letting our light shine. And I think I'm always drawn to the lessons, subjects that have the most impact on me. And I think we all are. We all tend to gravitate towards certain songs, to certain passages like we talked about in our class today. Whether they're certain books of the Bible, whether they're certain chapters, sometimes even verses that we just seem to gravitate to because there's something about them that ring out to us, that call to us something special that help us to hang on to those things. And the idea about letting our light shine has been an excellent lesson that another lesson that really wasn't very long in duration as we see the examples written down in Scripture. But for us, being people that really have our existence in light, have our existence and being able to see, have been just one of those things that we really have something to think about. And we typically talk about the light shining as what our example is and what it is to others and those kind of things. We're going to look at a couple of things today differently, but we will be covering a little bit of the same ground. We get this passage from Matthew, chapter 5, 14 through 16. You can probably close your eyes and follow right along with me, most of you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You can't get more obvious than that. I know in the times that I've presented lessons along this subject line before, we've talked about how you put a hill. You got a big hill out there and you put darkness around it and you put a light out. It doesn't matter how much light there is. It's going to be visible what it is. I think just this past week, I believe it was in Kentucky or Arkansas, we've had so much rain and so many campers and stuff have been kind of trapped by floodwaters. And I heard, I think Thursday it was, there's some campers, Boy Scout troop had gone off on a camp and they'd gotten separated from the waters, had come up on them and they had lost them. They couldn't figure out where they were. A number of the scouts' troops had died because of the water, trying to get out of it or trying to get through it. And that morning, they said on WLW, they said they saw that campfire of those scouts, and the helicopter just happened to be flying around. Those are the kind of things that we talk about a lot of times when we talk about letting our light shine. You could fly that helicopter all day, and if you can't see light, there's not going to be anything that distinguishes where those people are. There's nothing different than the rest of just the dark environment that you see. Couple key things on there that we all want to look at a little bit differently today. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It doesn't say that you need to see your good works because you want to see how good you are, but you want to see what it finishes up with, to glorify your Father in heaven. The disciples of Christ let their light shine. That's one of the things that is a goal for us to do. Our light is Christ. We talked about it today a number of times when we were talking about in Hebrews how important it is to focus on the Godhead. And the fact that Christ is to be shining in our lives, to let that shine in our lives, His command implies that His disciples are surrounded by darkness. We'll talk about that before too. When we have light and we make a big deal about light, we have to also be inadvertently talking about darkness because light and darkness are such an opposition to one another. Just like black. I've put on my black suit and I've got a little bit of fuzz on me. Everybody's, oh, hey Roger, come here. Pull that off there. Katie won't let me get out of the house. Dad, you got something on you. We went to a thing at Kings Island last night. Turned around and they were giving some of the kids in choir and band awards. Schools all the way over in Pennsylvania and Tennessee. Just a lot of kids. And I turned around and talked to Katie and she goes, Dad. All of her friends were going, Dad, there's something in your hair. I'm like, what? I got 20 kids, it seemed like, behind me trying to get something on my hair. The reason they noticed that is because it didn't seem to match. It was not fitting. And that's how light and darkness is. Or that's how dark on white is. Sometimes we've got a white shirt on or a white sweater, and you get the same thing, a little bit of black fuzz on there. It's like, oh, that's terrible. You mow your lawn, and there's a little spot that you didn't get cut. Guys especially have a terrible time with grass. There's a weed. I missed that weed. I got to get it out of here. Little things like that stick out to us. When we're talking about being surrounded by darkness, darkness is spiritual. And when we're talking about it in the spiritual light, it's the ignorance of sin. Sin is the darkness. His disciples are to be a source of light to others. So, again, that idea of that darkness, whether you're talking about a dark jacket with something on it, something that sticks out, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to stick out from the world. There's supposed to be something about us that is just not quite smooth. Our focus for today is talking about letting our lights shine. The difference between letting our lights shine and shining our light, and ways that we can shine those lights. We've talked in going in John 8:12, and if you do have your Bibles, I try to keep these passages as accurate as I can. But I'm working from my computer, so when I hear pages turning, it's always good. In John 8, it says that Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So Jesus is the true light of the world. We want to have that. And he says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness." We've got to be following. Another thing we've probably done before too, if you're out walking around, and our house being fairly close to the interstate, you'd think it would be have some ambient light that we could walk around on. But I tell you, at our house, when it gets dark, it's just dark. We live just east of 68 there, north of 71, and between Wilmington and Xenia. And the kids have these chores appointed to them by their mother, taking care of horses and dogs. And I go out there, and unless the moon's out, you're just guessing where you're going. And I can hear the freeway out there. I can hear them trucks driving by. And my brother and others drive trucks. And we were just talking this past week about hearing them trucks riding those jig brakes. You ever been on the freeway, or sometimes you're on the freeway and hear them trucks come up and they're, whoa. I mean, that freeway's only a couple miles away from us. And you think, just the light from the freeway would be okay. But it can't. We walk out there and you just can't see anything. Sometimes Katie or James will ask me to go out with them, or ask their mom to go out with them. And we take a flashlight. One of them might have a flashlight, or I might have a flashlight. Thank you, Mike. But if one of us don't have that flashlight, we're all guessing where we're going. If one person has that light, we can follow it and see where we're going. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He can say, "I am this light. As long as you're following me, you're not going to be lost. You're going to see right where I step. You're going to see what I'm walking around. Those things are going to be evident to you." So if Jesus is that true light, his disciples are to bear witness and reflect that light. 2 points I really want us to think about, and if we can take anything from the lesson today, I encourage you to think about these bullets. You know, the moon reflects the sun. The moon in itself has no power to provide light. We go all the way back to Genesis, and we see when the earth and the moon were created, and it said the lesser light would rule the night. That lesser light did not have light of its own. It does not burn like the sun burns. It just simply is opposite to the sun. It reflects that light. Sometimes you see that moon even in the daytime. You can still see it because it's bright when that sun's bouncing off its surface there. If Jesus is the true light and we are disciples, we are just like that moon. If Jesus is in front of us, if he is not obstructed, and that's the thing about the moon, when the moon is obstructed by the earth, that light is gone, or part of the light is gone. You have the crescent shape, you have the new moon and the waxing moon, waning moon, and all those things we learned about in school. That's blocking the light. But when that moon is totally in front of that sun, it's full. And you see it coming up at night. And we love to see that big orange moon coming up at night. Harvest moons and stuff that you see. And it seems so big sometimes. When we talked just a couple months ago, we had what they called the super moon, which is still the same moon, but it was bigger than normal just because of the way that it went around the earth. And Christians shine by reflecting the glory of God and Jesus. If we let anything get in our way, we're not going to have the full intensity of light that we will if we're just before Christ. Galatians 2:20. If you know the song that I've sung when I was a kid, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." I know this verse is a little bit different because most of that song was written in the King James Version. "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We can certainly let our light shine when we have a Christ, our light source, that is that strong. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Paul said, "Hey, I'm like a good moon. I'm not letting that earth get in my way. I'm bright. I'm letting it shine. Christ is before me. He's lighting me up. The light that you see coming off me is a product of Him. I want you to do the same." He doesn't say, "I want you to be reflectors of me. I want you to stand off to the side and let me bounce this light to you like a spectrum." He said, "You get in front of Christ too. Imitate the light." 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Again, going back to the point that I made, somebody's got light, they're walking in difficult places, you see where they walk, you know where to step, and you know what to watch out for. Letting our light shine versus shining our lights. There is a difference. For those shining their lights, they flaunt their righteousness. We're going to have to read this here in just a second. If you want to be turning over to that, just to follow me along, you can. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, "Also He spoke this parable to the some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So before we even start reading what's read here, say, this is kind of an example. I'm watching out for you and telling you, there's going to be people like this. There are people that trust in themselves. There are people that look at their righteousness, and they may be doing the right thing, but they say, "Oh man, look how good I'm doing. Look at me." We've known people like that. It's not the kind of people that we want to be. It goes on and says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." So right off the bat, Pharisee or tax collector? Overall, what kind of person would you say? Would you expect the Pharisee to be a good person? Or would you expect the bad person to be the tax collector? It says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself," and you can see him standing there, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We're talking about letting our light shine. We don't shine our lights. We are not the center of attention. Like we're talking about the moon, our attention is to be a reflection of the one that is before us. So the Pharisee may be flaunting their righteousness. Yes, are they doing right? Yes. Are they doing what they should be doing? In most cases, they were. Were tax collectors doing what they should be doing? Not often. People know them. A lot of reason that they were used so often is because they were crooked. They were taking things that were not theirs. But in this case, this man, who may not have been a good person, admits a sin. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. Please, let your mercy be shown to me." He was the one that was right. The Pharisee's attitude is unacceptable to God. It doesn't say that he's a good person and God is a little bit unhappy about it. It says his attitude is unacceptable to God. But the humanity or humility of the tax collector was. These are more interested in the praise of others rather than God being glorified in them. That's what we want to do. That's what our goal is to be as Christians. Matthew 6:1-2, "Take heed that you do not show your children, do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites in the synagogues do in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." We have two options. We always have two paths, it seems. We talked about this just the other day. I struggle with this myself. When I do something, and I do a lot of work around the house, at work, just with people that I know, if I do something and I do a really good job and I did it for the purpose of pleasing them and they don't say anything about it, I'm not happy about that. Where was my mistake? My mistake was doing it to please them. My mistake should not be that. My goal should be doing something to help somebody else because it's helpful to them. And that's something that we may struggle with. There were a lot of people in the Old Testament, even at this time, that were doing great things. But a lot of times they were only doing those great things for the satisfaction of other people being pleased with them. And that's not what it's about. It says at the very top of this, you will not have reward from your Father in heaven. God's basically going to say, "I don't care about that. That's a great thing, but He just wanted to be seen by the members over at the church in Waynesville. Or He wanted to be seen at the people He works with at work. Or He wanted His wife to thank Him, and she did. And I don't care. But when we don't get that thing, that's when it's more significant. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." This is one of the things that always goes through my mind when we do our prayers in public. We're doing in our prayers in public to get everybody to look at us and say, what a righteous person, what a godly person. Or are we doing it without thought of them, discreetly? Remember, the Bible tells us if we want to do a good job praying to God, go into a private place, be quiet about it, subtly. Let our lights be shining, God. Matthew 6:16, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. Again, surely I say, they have their reward." You know, it's a pretty impressive thing for people to fast. And I don't know how many of us have done that. We've heard some good lessons about that. But when we're fasting, we don't come in going, Oh man, oh, this is killing me. Oh, that looks so good. Oh man, I've been fasting for a week. You know that? We just keep telling people those things. The reason fasting is an important thing for a Christian or for a follower of God is because God knows what we need to be filled. God knows what we need to have our fleshly body satisfied. Our attitude should be when we fast, we're saying, "Lord, I'm trying to really think about you right now. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm not thinking about food. I'm focused on you." It's like a diet of self and for the goal of being well-balanced before God. So when we're talking about these things, for those letting their lights shine versus those shining our lights, we talked about those shining their lights, the Pharisees, the people that are disfiguring themselves because they're fasting, the people that are beating on their chest and, as it said, blaring the trumpets, letting everybody know what great thing they did. That's not what's for us. Our goal is to let our light shine. Serving God silently before others. Don't serve God loudly. Let everybody know, "Oh God, look what I'm doing right now. Hey everybody, look what I'm doing for God." Just do it. Be subtle about it. Do good without being seen. Again, some of us really struggle with these things. Do something nice because it's nice. Because God wants you to be doing that. We said we're reflecting God in our lives. When we do something nobody else sees, that is what God does. Do we see God doing all these great things that happen to us in our lives? No. Our goal should be to thank Him for them. But He'll do it if we ask Him for it. And again, we need to be pleased to give God the glory and not them. When great things happen, we do nice things for other people, even if they don't say thanks. That light shining from us to them is God doing those things for them. Other ways to let our light shine is living a righteous life. In Titus 2, verses 11-14, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." That's why it's important for us to live a righteous life. In James 1:27, we are to be unspotted from the world. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Remember I talked about the world, the moon, when it starts creeping back behind the world and it gets blocked out. There's less and less and less of it. Some of us have been fortunate to see a lunar eclipse. And if you've ever been out there, you see the moon. And it's one of those times where you see it during the day. It's just so bright up there in the sky. And then you see that slice, slice, slice. And then it's just gone. The whole thing is just gone. And we see that the earth has just gotten in the way. That's what this pure and undefiled religion is like. Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. The moon has a spot on it because the world's blocked it out. And not being conformed to the world, Romans 2:1-2. "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are to judge, or whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things." And also to be separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty." The idea about separation, being pushed out aside, receiving the full light. The Christian must leave each day before the people of the world. You know, all they may ever know is what Christ they see in us. I've made this point, I think, in some of the previous lessons that I was going back through those things. And this is an important one for us always to remember. That light that we're shining, that reflection we see, and being the person that's so fond of shiny things, and the person that likes doing 3D and in my computer work at school or at my job. I love when there's a reflection on something. You can put these objects in there and apply these surfaces to them, and they can be soft, they can be smooth, plasticky, and metal. I like when they're metal, and I like when they have a glow, and you can see things shining on them. If you've ever been in a place that is built really well, a place that has lighting done really well, and even some of the things in the house have some reflection to them, you know, a reflection can still cast light. And even though we ourselves are not to be producing light, to be shining our light at others, but to be reflecting that, the more of us that reflect Christ in our lives, the more of us that are standing unblemished, not spotted from that world like we were talking about, and reflect that light, those reflections bring out more light. And one of the things we do at home, we have a workout area downstairs, and sometimes I'll go down there and do my workouts, and James will come down and read. And it just happens to be a point in our basement that doesn't have a good light on it. And James goes back there and he tries to read back on the couch, but it's hard for him. We only have a couple of lights right above him there, but they're on the far side of the room. And one of the things I've done for him is I've taken a mirror that we had and kind of put it crooked beside him there, and it takes that light and it shines it right down on his book. That mirror is not producing any light, but it's reflecting the light that's already in that room. And it's, the mirrors are so vivid that way because they take almost all the light that's shown to them and reflect it. Really, if we can be like that, that would be ideal. If we can have such a reflection of Christ in our lives, that that light that is emitted to others, that they see from us, is almost pure as it was from Christ. So that may be what people see in us, is that reflection. Maybe all they know of Christ. And people who know us, they watch to see if we're behaving as a Christian. And the question is, are we? When that light is shining, are we having those little eclipses there? Are we having that new moon effect on people? Are we having that waxing moon? Do we have just a sliver of what we need to have in there? Or are we being full of what we need to have? Do we define being a Christian? Ways that we can let our light shine is doing good works. The Christian is created in Jesus for those good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. Why? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are not products without a cause. We are products created in Christ for good works. That's what we should be doing. And we are also to be doing good works, being zealous for those things. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Christ has done a lot of work to make sure that we are polished, to make sure that we have the ability to reflect the light. It's not like we're wandering around aimlessly doing our best to try to reflect light from someone. It really hasn't done anything for us. He has done everything for us. He has made sure that we are those people that know about Him, to stay away from being blocked by that light and to reflect as much of Him as possible. His own special people, zealous for good works. Didn't say His own special people not really caring about what they're doing. It says zealous for good works. They have a zeal for doing good. Christians also to do good all to all men. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Our goal is to be helping out people every time we have a chance. That could be anybody that we know, anybody in our family, anybody at work, especially those people that we meet on the street. But it says, focus on those people, but here is our family. Here are the people that we need to do the most good for. Be honest and upright in all of our actions and behaviors, mindful of the needs of others, mindful of those needs. That's something that takes work on our part. That in itself is often doing good. It's not sometimes saying, oh, I haven't talked to this person in a while. I wonder how they're doing. The last I'd heard from them was a few weeks ago, and things weren't going so well. I wonder how they're doing now. You know, my good work at that time could be, hey, person, I heard you were going through some rough times. How are you doing now? Sometimes those are a pretty good work in itself. Christians also to be to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22-23 says, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's not something anybody in the world is ever going to have a problem with. Now, that guy came up to me the other day, and man, they are just so joyful. It was horrible. How many people heard you hear say that? Oh, this guy has been causing nothing but peace for me. Oh, that's just ridiculous. What laws are going to be for that? Oh man, I went on and on and on. I had this terrible day and I must have talked to them for 20 minutes. And they were so long suffering. I can't stand it. It's ridiculous. Nobody has a law against this thing. That's what they love. Those are acts of goodness and kindness. Kindness. Now, that was a sure nice thing that he did. Man, I hate him. Who would say that? People love kindness. They love the affectionate. Goodness and faithfulness are the same thing. Gentleness goes right along with long suffering. A gentle answer, Old Testament tells us, it discourages wrath. It brings up feelings of comfort. What about faithfulness? I've mentioned this in a couple lessons recently, one that goes to the husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends, mothers and fathers and kids. Just being faithful. Oh man, that person told me they're going to be there, and I got there, and they were there. They were even early. I hate them. I mean, we just don't think that way. Those are all great things. Against such, there is no law. We need to have a forgiving spirit. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That last part there is something we can't forget. God in Christ forgave us. We wouldn't have a chance. Forgiving spirit reflects Christ. Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Christ was trying to help them out even then. And they said, that's pretty cool. He said, forgive them. Let's make some money off his clothes. And the Christ-like spirit of Stephen, we've talked a lot about Stephen lately. Acts 7:60, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Sounds nice there, but we know he died. He was pummeled by those people with rocks and he was killed. Even at that time, he said, Lord, please, don't hold this against them. Our own forgiveness requires forgiving others. You know, that's not one of the things that we can do. We can't have forgiveness and say, we're in good shape. I'm going to be the way I am and not care for anybody else. Matthew 6, 14-15, for if you will forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See these signs a lot of times in people's properties, says no trespassing. And you wonder how many people decided to just cross that fence and get into that property. People that go hunting and have family members that hunt probably think about this a lot. There's no trespassing in it. Somebody is saying, this is my property. I bought this. I pay taxes on it. I put a fence around here. I like when those deer come back to my house. I know Kyle and Jenna have some deer come and visit them. Probably some of the rest of us do. So yeah, I like when they come back here. They're pretty cool. I don't want to see a hunter one day coming up and hunter orange or camo sneaking up and killing my deer one day. I put that sign out there saying I don't want them on my property. Trespasses are when we go on to other things that we don't belong on. We don't belong in places in people's lives that cause them problems. And we don't belong in sin. And when we trespass, we need to make sure that we can forgive others of those things. And we need to have a love for the brethren. John 13:35, by this we all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We need to be optimistic and enthusiastic about our lives in service to the Lord. Optimism, the result of a positive outlook. It's like faith, while pessimism is like doubt. The pessimist is full of gloom. I thought this quote was a really good one. It says, he feels bad when he feels good. For fear, he will feel worse when he feels better. I love those cricket sayings like that, but that's kind of how pessimists are. We all feel like a pessimist from time to time, but we can be. If we're letting our light shine, we need to have optimism in our lives. Pessimism or optimism will define how we deal with problems, either strength and weakness. I think I'm about to go a little bit too long here, but I'll try to wrap up. Some of the ways to let our light shine, be optimistic and enthusiastic about our lives and our service to the Lord. When we got a God and we have a Savior like Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, optimism should be automatic for us. Christians have Christ to help us be optimistic. Are we being optimistic? Philippians 4:3 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You talk about strength. Talk about that upper arm of faith. Have an idealistic view of life. View life's stresses not as roadblocks, but as slight interruptions on paths of success to help us face realities head on. Don't look at these big roadblocks and keep saying, oh, this is terrible. Oh, and that one's blocked too. And oh, that door's closed. I mean, sometimes we have those things in life. You get off work and you come home and there just seems like there's so many problems. I can't do this all the time. I can tell you about it, but I can't do these things myself. I see a lot of these problems, and there's a lot of problems in my life. I have to deal with those realities. But if we can get past those, if we can see those bumps as if they were in the past, we would do so much better. You think about your life, what you've had to deal with and what you've had to overcome. And I bet there are some big, big things that you've had to deal with. And where are you today? Haven't you gotten all past them? Haven't you gotten over them? Haven't you gotten to where you are today? Think about those as big bumps that have been smashed down and worn over. And one who shows and is such an example helps others to see how life for Christ will overcome life's problems. You know, we talk about that reflection. Our goal is to be reflecting Christ in our lives. But remember, how we reflect Christ in our lives is going to have an effect on others. I was talking about that reflection, you see. Something might be reflecting something here, but if you have another reflective service, it's going to see a little bit of that. And the next thing is going to see a little bit of that, and it's going to keep on going. However we do before our Savior is how other people are going to see that. So in quick conclusion, the Christian must reflect Christ and His glory to those around them. We have to be, just like I said, the moon works best if it's not blocked by the earth. Get things out of your way. The earth is a pretty big place compared to the moon. The moon is a much smaller planet, entity or body, we want to call it. But it doesn't work well if the earth is blocking it out. Not letting our light shine means we are in darkness. If our light's turned off, we're just darkness. If you're in darkness, you're in sin. And if you're in sin, baptism can wash all that darkness away, revealing the light that Christ shines. Again, we'll go back to that idea that everybody has a nice shiny body, has a nice shiny soul in the beginning. Once sin starts packing that thing down, it loses its shine. It only takes Christ to be able to renew that. And if we are known by Christ and we've moved back into the dark, repentance and asking God to forgive are the only ways to turn the light back on. So this morning, we're going to be talking about something that we don't talk a lot about when we discuss letting our light shine. The focus today has not been just how people see our light, but what kind of light we're shining, whether it's becoming something from us or whether it's something from Christ. The next lesson that we're going to talk about is the dark side, the darkness that we are in, and exactly why that's important, why we talk so much about light, and why we even need to think about it. So this morning I encourage you to take your songbooks. We'll be singing the song of invitation. The light is something that's always in our lives. The sun's always out there. And we had enough rain in our lives lately. We sure like seeing it. It seems like it's been 3 or 4 days that we've had sunshine in the last month. We get tired of that, don't we? Think about God just for a little bit. How many times are we letting storm clouds of life block out Him from us? How dim we get. The vividness of a sunny, shiny day is so great we've seen the last couple of days. That's what God wants to see in us. So as we sing this song, think about your soul. Think about your condition before God. And if there's something that can be done, prayers that need to be made, let that be known as we stand and sing.